Pretty girls come out to socialize.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 53 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And if you're watching the video version, you can see that Seth is not in his usual spot this week.
No, right now I am at Screen and Stream, which is an innovative new drive-through haunted experience, which is debuting soon. We are at a media preview tonight. It is way down south in Kissimmee, the Boggy Creek Boggy Creek Airboat Adventure. And as you can see, they've already fed us some swamp juice.
Mm.
And we've got some gator nuggets. And and most importantly, we've got Buffalo Ranch pizza fries. Because it's not Halloween without pizza fries.
It's like a requirement.
So, yes, if I get kidnapped out of here, if I disappear, you know what happened.
But that's the story, and we're sticking to it. This week, we've just been kind of prepping. Brody has his big day on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's going to be all grown up. We're also getting his he's getting a little nose job, so he'll be able to breathe better. So that'll be nice. Right. So we've been gearing up for that. I bought Josh the Super Mario 3D All-Stars that came today. Yeah, I told him he had to wait until we're done.
So you're not seeing him for at least 72 hours.
I know. And I really want to play it just because even though they're not remasters, they're just like emulated. They still look really good. Mm-hmm. And then there something else happened this week that I'll talk about in the first part of the news, which is a great segue. So the PlayStation 5 showcase happened this week, where they revealed a bunch of games and how much this thing was going to cost and when it was going to come out. pre-orders were a nightmare, but I managed to get one.
Ooh, congratulations.
Did you go with
the disc version or the disc-less version?
I picked the disc-less version because I love how it looks. And also,
it's,
I think
we're sneaker look for sure.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we're moving into an era of gaming where everything is going to be digital anyway. And even though I have some hang-ups about whether or not you actually own your digital games, I think it'll just be easier, and that's fine. My only hang-up is that I would really want to get like special collector's editions of certain games coming out, but they come with discs and not codes.
Not codes.
Yeah.
So the hardcore, they're definitely still pitching. Now, it's not like with the Xbox, the differentiation between the two consoles and the Xbox that's coming out. The PlayStation is pretty much the same capabilities, just with or without a disc, right?
Yeah, Sony said something about how consoles that differentiate in quality and price, the lower quality, lower price one doesn't sell as well, so they thought, we'll just take the disc drive out and make it $100 cheaper. But the pre-orders were a nightmare because Sony said we're going to tell you about them tomorrow. This was on Wednesday, and then they dropped that night, like within hours. I tried Best Buy and had one in my cart for 3 hours and could not check out. And then a Twitter account that I follow that posts like gaming discounts and sales and stuff posted when Amazon's link went up. So I immediately like hopped in there and got it really fast. And so we'll get it. It may not come on release day, but because Amazon, I think maybe 2 days ago, they sent out an email that was like, due to demand, we may not be able to get you your PlayStation on release day, which is fine with me because there are 3 games that I'm super excited about. And they all come out next year, so I can.
Right.
The first being Horizon Forbidden West. It's like Alien levels of lore and sci-fi. It's awesome. And they just put out Horizon Zero Dawn, the first one, on PC. If you wanted to check that out. So that one comes out next year. I think that's a Q1, Q2 release. They haven't said, but that's what the rumors are. The second game is Hogwarts Legacy, the yes. Harry Potter RPG that I've that wanted my really entire cool. life. It looks so good. And I remember earlier in the year, some footage leaked that I guess that they were going to show at E3 before that got canceled. And this looks a million times better than that. Mm-hmm.
The trailer looks fantastic. I just want to know, is the gameplay going to lean more towards a RPG like a Knights of the Old Republic style tactical, or is it more of a shooter? It almost looks like a Gears of War in Harry Potter land.
I'm
curious what the gameplay style is.
Yeah, that's what I would like to know too, because I do like the turn-based like JRPG style, but I really like American RPGs where they're just super open world, very collecting based comp, but it's like free open combat, real time combat, and not turn based or tactical. So I don't know. I hope that they do like a direct or something where they show off more about it. But the icing on the cake for me was the God of War Ragnarok announcement. Mm-hmm. I lost my mind because the first game, it was a reboot of the whole series, and everyone knows Kratos is just angry guy that likes to smash things and kill gods. But then they turned him into a father, and it was a really beautiful, epic story. And I didn't think it was going to come out for the sequel for another 2 years. And they announced that it's coming out next year. Which, if you know anything about the game, it's based in Norse mythology. And the end of the first game marks the beginning of Fimbulwinter, which precedes Ragnarok. And Fimbulwinter is 3 years long. It's been 3 years since the first game came out. And Ragnarok will begin with the release of the second game, which I thought was like weirdly coincidental and cool.
Is Natalie Portman... this one, because I don't think we have that's Thor. Never mind. Wrong Ragnarok.
Similar but different. But sorry. I'm super excited about it. But
no, that's
very
awesome. I actually had my own pre-order experience this week.
Oh,
extremely
yeah?
easy.
Was it the
It's not for PlayStation, it's for a Quest 2 VR headset.
Oh,
both me and Matt, our publisher, into the Quest. We've both got original Quests, and we're already upgrading after like 14-16 months since the original one came out, already giving them our money for the upgraded version. Not often that a new console comes out less than a year and a half after the original. It's both significantly more powerful and $100 cheaper.
Not bad.
The hardest thing was deciding whether to keep my old one for myself as a backup, or what I think I'm going to do is give it to my niece and nephew so they can fight over it. I'm sure my brother is thrilled over the prospect of that.
That'll be fun. Are there any cool new, like, I know the Tales from Batuu game.
Yes, the Tales from Galaxy's Edge is coming out. There's another theme park tie-in. There's a Jurassic Park. Aftermath game that is coming out. Walking Dead is coming out as a launch title for Quest 2. A lot of really cool stuff. The Quest 1 was a great first generation product, and now it seems like it's really coming into its own with the AAA titles. I'm happy to have Mark Zuckerberg basically look in my underwear drawer. You can have access to my bank account, whatever, as long as the spice keeps flowing, as long as
yeah.
I get access to the Oasis, it's all fine.
I've only ever used the Quest once, and it was at Star Wars Celebration Chicago when they were demoing Vader Immortal, and yeah. It was awesome. But I think I'm gonna have to see a few more AAA kind of titles before I make the big jump into picking up a VR headset.
Yeah. Well, they got Anthony Daniels to do voice of C-3PO for the Star Wars title. That doesn't rope you in. I don't know what will.
I saw his cryptic tweets and I was like, what is this guy doing now? And then that announcement dropped. But in theme park news, they've added a cool new thing to the My Disney Experience app where you can see some of the critters that live at Disney's Animal Kingdom called Disney Parks Wild Sights. It's a short form video mini series. And the UI is great, first of all. I really like the design of it. But you get to see kind of a unique up close and personal view of the animals and the people that care for them. I think this is awesome and a great way to see the animals when you go to the parks and they may be backstage because they're being cared for, or it's just not safe to have their areas open for social distancing. I think this is great.
Yeah, I think this is really clever on a couple levels. One, it's tied into the Animal Kingdom documentary series. It's a partnership with National Geographic. It's going to be coming out on Disney Plus at the end of the month, I believe, right?
The 25th.
And so this is a way that you can take maybe some extra footage that didn't actually fit into the episodes on TV and put them in a different format. And it also gets people opening the My Disney Experience app, even when they maybe can't go to the parks. I'm kind of excited to see this because I just stumbled across a filming of this series one day when I was in the parks right after they, right around the time that they closed or the time to reopen, around the time that they closed. And I didn't know what it was going to be because they hadn't officially announced it yet. So I'm glad to finally see this actually being a thing.
Yeah. I love that they're kind of expanding the My Disney Experience app into more than just mobile ordering and fast passes.
Yeah.
Make it an experience.
You know, giving people a reason to open it when they're at home, not in the parks, is important, keeping that connection, keeping that app from getting deleted off the phone when the space is low.
Right. If you are a big fan of Horror Nights, some veterans of the event are creating a new experience over at the Orlando Forum called the Orlando Forum of Fear. Ooh, spooky, spooky. it will consist of a haunted tunnel house made attraction that will change over the course of the event, which I think is really neat, so that every time you visit, ideally, it will be different. There's also a dinner theater show that is staged like a seance, which sounds scary and awesome. I really want to know what that's like.
Two of my favorite people, Patrick Briard and Kim Grommel, are involved in this. And they're both tremendously talented artists from Halloween Horror Nights, who sadly are part of the bloodbath of all the layoffs that have gotten over there. So I'm glad they've landed on their feet. And also the Orlando Forum, that, you know, there was a rock and roll dinner show in there for a while, and I know they had financial issues, so I'm glad that building, which originally was the Whirly Dome, and had been a gift shop before that years ago, I'm glad that that spot on iDrive is having some traffic. I think their business model is a little interesting. They're going to do the same. They're taking one haunted maze and they're going to redo it. So it'll be three different mazes over the course of the season. I think a one-time pass is about $17, $18, where they have an all-day pass for about $25. But they've got a season pass for somewhere in the $85 to $90 range. And so I guess if you want to see all three versions, May is that you're going to have to invest in the season pass and come back multiple times.
I wonder if all the stories of the different versions of the maze will connect together. Like, it'll be one long narrative, so you'll have to keep coming back if you want the whole story.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I mean, knowing the work that Patrick and Kim have done, the kind of detail and the way they invest in the backstory and everything, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Well, if you are in the Orlando area and you're looking to support some Horror Nights veterans, tickets are available now. You can get them at the Orlando Forum box office or through the Eventbrite link that you can find in our story on attractionsmagazine.com. Speaking of Halloween stuff, SeaWorld is doing the Halloween thing by offering a drive-in style event with cute and spooky Halloween movie double features through October, which sounds super fun. I really like the lineup that they've got going on so far. It's very diverse.
It's diverse, but it's also an awful lot of Universal or Disney films.
Right?
Yeah. I guess there aren't that many Halloween Sesame Street movies. So they've got to do something that's kind of their competitor's IP. But it's kind of funny to see Beetlejuice and Ghostbusters and Nightmare Before Christmas all at SeaWorld.
Hocus Pocus being the last night that they do, like, to cap it all off. Swamp juice. But tickets are $40 per vehicle if you're interested in attending. There will be food trucks, I believe, where you can get snacks and stuff. You'll have to wear masks outside of your car, but it's socially distanced, safe, and it's a way for the family to get out of the house and have some fun Halloween times. Magic Kingdom this past week, this will be kind of short and sweet since we covered this before, but Magic Kingdom debuted their Halloween offerings this past week, and there are now spooky cavalcades and character appearances and lots of delicious treats. Well,
well, there are lots of treats.
Lots of treats. They may not be delicious.
To be honest, no one's getting the treats for the treats. They're getting the treats for the collectible box that the treats come in that they put up on eBay. I mean, no one really wants to pay $17 for 6 donut holes. You know, like if you went to Dunkin' Donuts and they charge you $17 for 6 munchkins, you would jump across the counter and punch them.
That's highway robbery. Yeah.
I was there on opening day. And I will say I love, love, love the cavalcade with the Nightmare Before Christmas characters. All the character cavalcades are great, but it's especially great to see Jack Skellington without having to wait a really long line. But
yeah,
you know, none of the snacks were like things that I felt like I have to rush out and have a second time. And there's no decoration at all outside of Main Street.
Yeah.
It was just enough Halloween to remind me that we're missing Halloween. And it didn't really satisfy my, you know, not so scary cravings. it was still better than absolutely nothing. But I'll be very happy when things are more back to a normal Halloween celebration, hopefully next year.
Yeah, I think seeing the level or lack of decoration for this time makes me wonder what Christmas will be like. Because Christmas, you have to be a little less subtle with it. I wonder if they'll put up a tree or just do the street posts like they did with the pumpkins this year.
Yeah, gosh, I hope there's at least a tree. A Christmas tree. We already know we're not getting the lights. There's no tree, there might as well be no Santa Claus.
Yeah, then it really will be.
Just have the Grinch come and take everything away.
Suck it up with a giant vacuum cleaner thing and just carry it out of Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Over at Universal, a cute little Robo puppy has made some appearances. Her name is Latte. She is cute. She runs off of coffee, but specifically not decaf. They specified that she does not run on decaf. Professor Dr. Penelope, is that her title? I don't want to get it wrong. Dr. Penelope Thibault Tinker Toothsome.
She did not go to chocolate medical school for years to be called Mr.
But she created Latte. And you can meet her through the end of September from 4 to 6 daily.
So if you go on YouTube, YouTube and you look up Boston Dynamics Spot, I think you'll see the robot that is the base of this character. It's kind of a mix of AI controlled movement and a remote operator, but it's so adorable. And the steampunk bling that it's got like this little face made out of gears and valves, and it's just the cutest thing. I think it's just a couple hours a day, 4 to 6, you know, very short window to see it. And it's not officially announced at all, so it could totally disappear at any time. But I think it is cute that they've got a special latte milkshake themed to it that's also available.
Oh yeah, look at that thing. That looks so good. It's Latte's Latte and is made with coffee, ice cream, and espresso, topped with fresh whipped cream, dark chocolate, biscotti, and chocolate-covered espresso beans.
That sounds intense.
That sounds like a coffee lover's dream, yes. And you'll be bouncing off the walls when you ingest it.
I might need to pick one of those up.
Right? this I saw pop up on the Disney website this past week, that the water parks at Walt Disney World will be closed until March 2021. And for March, they will only open one of them on March 7th, but they're not sure which one yet.
It's a little surprising considering that Volcano Bay has been operating all this time and pretty successfully. They've had to close for capacity on days. So you think that Disney is leaving money on the table. I've heard about the pools at some of the resort hotels at Disney getting pretty full on the weekends when occupancy is up. I'm sure Typhoon Lagoon would have people interested in going. So I guess it's good that we know that it will open again at some point.
But
the fact that they're not even making annual pass holders apply for a refund, they're just giving automatic refunds to people who have annual passes to those parks. That says something.
I'm surprised that it took them this long to say something.
Right.
Because honestly, I kind of just forgot about the water parks because they didn't say anything. And then I saw this and I was like, oh, wait. Yeah, those exist.
From a ticketing revenue point of view, you got to wonder what it does to their bottom line. They lost the park hoppers. That was a big source of additional revenue on top of the ticket. And now they've lost that water park and more feature, people aren't paying. So it's curious to see, what that's going to do to their revenue. Even though they have the same number of people coming in, they might not be spending as much on tickets as they want.
Yeah. And as you can see, there are a bajillion different options that they're offering for people who have purchased water park tickets or add-ons to their annual passes, just kind of giving them their money back or giving them opportunity to cancel. Yeah, it's a shame. Which water park do you think or do you hope opens first? Basically me asking you which one's your favorite.
I think Typhoon Lagoon is the better part. It's got the more diverse lineup. Honestly, when they lost the Shark Reef snorkeling experience, the two parks became a little more equal.
Yeah.
But as long as they've got the Crush and Gusher and also that new raft ride that's themed around Mary Oceaneer.
Yeah. I always wanted to do the Shark Reef thing ever since I saw the Disney World VHS tapes. You know what I'm talking about? Yep.
Yes.
That was my dream as a child. And then I moved to Orlando the year that they closed it.
No. It was something special.
I bet. Speaking of something special, if you have been hankering for some Galaxy's Edge merchandise, but you don't want to go to the parks or you're not able to go to the parks, Disney's offering you a boon because you'll be able to buy select Galaxy's Edge merchandise soon at Disney Springs. You can already buy it at Downtown Disney District, and it will also be going to shopdisney.com.
All right. I have mixed feelings about this.
Yeah, let me hear.
Well, on the one hand, I think it's great that people who can't make it inside the parks have an opportunity to get some of this merchandise. I'm happy for that. Great. But especially at Downtown Disney in Anaheim, this is replacing the Wonderground Art Gallery, which was something really special and beautiful. And there's not anything else like that there. And I fear, you know, I don't think the similar Wonderground here in Disney, or Disney Springs, is going to last much longer. And I mean, great, but there's something a little less special about that too, if you can get the merchandise ever. Now, by the same token, you know, Wizarding World of Harry Potter is still great, and you can get that merchandise online or in different shops around the parks. So
yeah,
it's not going to ruin it. But it was kind of cool. You know, there was a little street cred back when the stuff that from Galaxy's Edge was the only place you could get it. People were like, oh, wow, where did you get that? Not just over the online.
Well, now this makes me wonder, like, last month, Ashley Eckstein revealed that the Ahsoka Clone Wars sabers were going to be at Galaxy's Edge this fall. Does that mean that they're going to be sold at Disney Springs and Shop Disney, too?
I do not know. I have not seen the Legacy sabers pop up anywhere online yet, but we do know online that they are going to be adding a 13th saber, and people can vote. I think right now they can vote on what they think they should be adding. Do you have a preference of what you think they should add?
I do, actually. I really want Cal Kestis's saber.
Okay, and I just finished
that one was winning.
I just finished playing Jedi Fallen Order. And yes, that is like, especially since it's the version that's like got the charred end with the wires hanging out. I think that would be really cool. I see they have an Ezra Bridger one, Rebels.
Yeah.
It's a later season one. If it was the early season that's like a combination of a gun and a lightsaber, I totally would have gone for that.
I also really like Kanan's like katana saber. That's really cool too. Last I checked, Cal Kestis was winning, and then Anakin and Lord Korvax, Qui-Gon, and then Ezra and Kanan were at the bottom.
I always get confused when it's an Anakin lightsaber. Which Anakin? Because he's had several lightsabers. I believe this is Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I think this is his episode.
Which I think then he loses again. So
yeah. The Skywalkers are always losing their sabers. I also thought it was cool that they put the mystical saber from Vader Immortal there too. I was like, that's a dark horse. I did not expect that.
That hilt looks like something out of Game of Thrones instead of Star Wars. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Man, wouldn't that look cool, like mounted on your wall? I would do it.
Right on my tauntaun head.
Yeah, showing off your latest trophy. Tokyo Disneyland has finally announced an opening date for the expansion we've all been waiting for. Their Fantasyland / Tomorrowland expansion, featuring what is bound to be a groundbreaking, beautiful dark ride in Enchanted of Beauty and the Beast. I wish so bad that we could be there.
Please let us back in the country. We will be good. We will take COVID tests. We will wear masks. Please let us back in your country.
I will come in a plastic bubble if that is what it takes.
I watched that video with like the little clips of the animatronics, and they move so good, and they don't have the projected faces. I know the projected faces were great, technological advance, whatever, but they just look a little creepy. These look just look right, you know.
Yeah.
The facial animation, the way the lips and the eyes move, it's just so beautiful. I can't wait. I want to see it in person. I don't want to watch a video and spoil it, but I know I'm going to.
Oh, I did the same thing when Pirates opened at Shanghai, and I was like, that looks great, but I'm not going to watch it. And then I was like, I'm going to watch it. I would play the video for you guys if I didn't want to get tagged, but her movements, it's like it's a person, except it's a cartoon face. She looks incredible. The ride vehicles look super fun. I saw pictures. I don't know where they came from, because they weren't on the OLC press website. There are pictures of the inside of the attraction out there on the internet, and it looks incredible. It looks just like the movie, except transposed into three dimensions right in front of your face. Other things that will be opening as part of this expansion are the Happy Ride with Baymax, which is your Tow-Mater ride clone, but with Baymax. And Mini Style Studio.
This will be the third Tow-Mater, right? And I think we can pretty much say that Tow-Mater, if Tow-Mater set the original standard, then Alien Spinning Saucer is a little below that.
Yeah.
So this Baymax looks like it might be even better than Tow-Mater.
I really love Tow-Mater. So being better than Tow-Mater is like, you have to be pretty good.
You know, I'm not going to say I'm the world's number one Larry the Cable Guy fan. But that soundtrack works for that ride.
Holiday songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The seasonal ones are even better. But even just the regular soundtrack really, really puts that over the top.
And, yeah.
You know, there's something that's not quite as uplifting as the, like, chiptune versions of You've Got a Friend in Me over and over again.
I've never done Alien Swirling Saucers, and I've only been on Tow-Mater during the holiday overlay, and I don't think I'll ever get his cover of Dreidel, Dreidel, Dreidel out of my head, except it's Tractor, Tractor, Tractor. Look it up if you've never heard it. It's charming and hilarious, and you'll never not be able to think about it.
On that note, a shout out to my fellow members of the tribe celebrating the Haya holidays this week. Recording this just after Rosh Hashanah ended, and might be hangry. Actually, just coming off of that.
But that's it for me for news in the queue, yeah. And for this week's main attraction. Deal. Yeah, I was hoping I could pick your brain a little bit,
yes,
because they did not allow
our lights.
Is that what everyone's calling it now? Halloween Horror Lights? but the rumors were true. Universal did, in fact, open up two daytime haunted houses for guests to enjoy. And everyone was super excited. I watched the madness unfurl when they said that they were going to do virtual queue. And then they just opened the line to everybody. And then they closed it. And then they opened it again. And it was entertaining to watch it on social, and I wish that they would have let people film in there or just like put out a walkthrough video or something, but I get it. So tell me, how was this whole experience like?
I mean, it isn't Halloween Horror Nights, but it's a pretty fun substitute. We've got the two haunted houses, food trucks, there's a scarecrow scavenger hunt for free around Universal Studios Florida, and then trick-or-treating for kids under 12 in Iowa. I actually think put it all together and it's a better package than what Disney is doing at the Magic Kingdom. throwing in those haunted, you know, we speculate about how they're going to control demand for the haunted houses. I still think that maybe they should have charged for it the first weekend, if nothing else, to spread out the demand a little more. I got to do the Premier Passholder preview on Friday afternoon. It was a little bit of a cluster mess. I know Matt, our publisher, he was smart enough to get a really early time slot and just went right through and had hardly any wait. I had a 30 reservation, and I waited 73 minutes for the Tooth Fairy, Revenge of the Tooth Fairy.
No.
73 minutes is, I'm pretty spoiled when it comes to horror nights, where I only go on off-peak nights, and I do early entry, and I have all the tricks to avoid waiting more than half an hour for anything. So, but I will say that Tewksbury Maze was worth the wait.
Yeah.
It's got an amazing facade, and I don't want to spoil it, but if you like pop-up books, this is some really creative work done all the way through. What I love about it is that it tells a real story. It's not just setting up a situation of characters, but it's actually like being in a horror movie with a narrative, and it, you know, you've got literal narration, both that you hear and that you see. Lots of great characters, great gore. It kind of reminded me of Scary Tales meets Bone Collector, in the way that I had this cool Victorian feeling and a lot of blood. But the best thing about it, after waiting 73 minutes, was that I wasn't pushed through in a conga line. For the first time ever, yes, they've got the guys with the flashlights standing in the hallways, but they're not making you go faster, they're making you go slower. Actually stop you and make sure there's enough distance before the next person that the actors can reset and get ready to do their scares. So I got to see all those cool show moments, all those cool effects, had time to reset. And going through a haunted house like that as a party of one and not having seeing anyone in front of you or behind you, it's a totally different experience. You can appreciate the designs, you can appreciate the scares, the actors are probably a lot safer. And speaking of safety, they put plexiglass in. And some places they put plexiglass in ways that's a little intrusive or kind of distracts or gives away the scares. Otherwise, they've used it in really clever ways that kind of like misdirects you and makes you look in the wrong place. So I think they've probably done the best job that they could with that. And even though the actors are all, you know, wearing masks, one way or another, they're all wearing masks. They're still giving it their all in the performances, even if they're not as much in your face. They've still got great energy. I got to do the Bride of Frankenstein Lives with only a 15-minute wait.
Hey,
probably worth a 15-minute wait. And that one, I liked it even better than the Monster's House from last year.
Oh, wow.
Because last year, you know, they threw in every single Universal monster, and it didn't really have a story that connected them all. It was just sort of greatest hits. This, it really has a through line. You know, it's kind of like a sequel to the original Frankenstein films. And it, you know, you can really follow the story as it goes through. And it makes sense why all the characters are together. It's got some really cool cameos and great set pieces. And it's got my favorite, it's got flying people on bungees. So I'm always happy to see that.
Oh, man. I wondered, I heard that might have been the thing, and I wondered if they were going to keep it in or not. So that's good to hear.
This is another one where having the flashlight parade stop you and give you that extra time and make sure that things can set up was totally essential. I really felt like the haunted house was being performed just for me.
Do you think that kind of, does that pull you out of your suspension of disbelief inside of the house?
I mean, no more so than having a line of 1,000 people shoulder to shoulder in front of you breaks your suspension of disbelief. I definitely enjoyed it more as a more intimate experience. I don't get scared easily, but they managed to get me a couple of times in this one. I do have some tips. If you're, they have not, as far as I know, officially announced that this is happening again next weekend, but I think we can pretty much count on this. This is going to be at least on the weekends and not become a daily thing.
I would hope
here's
so.
Here's the thing. They got a huge rush, people slamming them, showing up an hour before opening. They used a virtual line system, and all those virtual line passes were snapped up really quickly. But by late in the afternoon, you know, this is Florida, this is the rainy season, you're going to get hit with rain in the afternoon. And by like 2, 3 o'clock, they had reopened the queues, and the haunted houses were basically a walk-on. So especially on the weekends, it's going to be insane. They might even have to close the parks for capacity. Like they did on Saturday morning. They had to shut the gates entirely. By early evening, you can probably just walk in. And if you think you're being clever and using the new early entry that they have at Islands of Adventure, and you're going to hop on the Hogwarts Express and get over on the train, it's not going to work. The Hogwarts Express will never get you over there quicker than the people going through the front gate. The thing to remember is if you're going to do a virtual line, you don't even need to be in the park. As long as you're just on Universal property outside the parks, you get in and get that virtual line about 30 to 50 minutes before the parks even open. So while everyone else is trying to run towards the haunted houses, just use that virtual line and book a pass for yourself in the afternoon.
And go do that scarecrow trail.
Yes.
And go eat some of the snacks.
Get some of the leftover Halloween candy that you can sell at Honeydukes.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we are about to get dragged out of here.
Oh, no.
I think it's
okay.
About time. Matt, are we about there?
It's 22, so about 15.
Okay, it looks like it is about time.
Okay,
so
we can...
I am going to have to... Wait, no.
What?
No, wait.
Oh, no.
Before I go, I have to tell you that you can find me online at Eskubersky or... excuse me, wait, I'm out of camera. There we go. Or the unofficial guides at the UG series. I'll be back next week at Busch Gardens. Hello, scream. Tell my wife I love her. Bye. Bye.
Well, he should be back next week. You guys are stuck with me for the close of the show. Before we go, I would love to thank our club and VIP subscribers. Every person who signs up to be a subscriber, you guys help keep this show going. You help keep all of the fun things that attractions do, you just keep it going. So we would like to thank Patrick LeHoux, Donna Schaefer, Alexander Rivas, Ted Kodowitz, and Chris Kowalski. Thank you so much for signing up for Club and VIP subscriptions. And if you are a subscriber, you can listen to our subscriber exclusive episode that we put out a couple weeks ago. Seth and I talked about our top 5 dark rides in Orlando, and some of the choices were a little controversial. And you can check that out over at attractionsmagazine.com. And if you would like to pick up the fall 2020 issue of Attractions Magazine, you can do so at attractionsmagazine.com/store. And as far as my interwebs, you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, at attractionsmagazine.com, attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, have fun, and don't get dragged off by scary monsters. We'll see you guys. Bye.